I'm Drew.
I'm Boots.
This is Kobo.
And you're listening to
I Don't Know
with Knox Hamilton.
Welcome back, Hamilton, to the second episode of our internet radio show. Podcast thingy. Today's sponsor is your mom, Clay.
She's a lovely lady. If she had the money, she had the capital, she would definitely.
And we know that. We know that.
So hopefully by this point, y'all have had a chance to listen to our new songs called Lost in a Party. It just came out. Big thanks to our good buddy, Jeff Regan at SiriusXM's Alt Nation for the world debut of our song. Pretty great lineup of other bands, the Struts, Smash Mouth, our boys. Yeah, so thank you for listening. Hopefully you guys have had a chance to check it out.
I just want to say real quick. So Smash Mouth, when Work It Out was first making the rounds, they hollered at us on Twitter, and I was just like, what in the world?
Because like, be real.
What have we been, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, whatever.
All-Star.
All-Star.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like one of the first songs where I was like obsessed.
Classic.
No matter how many times you heard it on VH1 or whatever it was just like, oh man, play it again. That stuff slaps. But so yesterday, Regan debuts, you know, Lost in a Party, and they comment again. And I'm just like, man, they are still with us. Like, we should tour together.
We've been waiting on that for a while now.
Yeah. I mean, like, opening for Smash Mouth on a tour.
Dreams do come true.
Dadgum.
Alt Nation, Jeff Regan has been very cool to us for a long time now.
The coolest.
You know, first started playing Work It Out. He's played pretty much every song I think we've released, which has been amazing. I think we should have him on the show. Can we do that, Clay? Can you make some phone calls?
He's on it.
We'll like flip the script on him. He always interviews bands, artists, has been doing it for a while, and we can interview Jeff Regan.
That's a great idea.
His voice is so good,
too. It's butter, so man. Good. It's butter.
So we mentioned Clay a couple times. I just want to say really quick, Clay was our front of house / sound guy. Is that cool? That's not pejorative, right? Sound guy, like for a band?
Sound man.
Sound man.
Person.
Front of house for us the last few tours we did. And we just fell in love with this young man instantly. And he's been a great buddy of ours ever since. So when we first decided that we will, in fact, embark on this podcast journey, we're just like, man, who better to run the sound, facilitate, arbitrate? Arbitrator?
And Clay. Clay Thomas Helder.
Thomas Helder. So anyway, that's your introduction. You're a beautiful man. Say hello to the fans.
I'm holding for applause.
You can add that in later.
No, I'm just happy. I'm happy to be here. You guys are my bros.
Happy to have you.
I got to say, when Clay first came down, we were getting ready for a tour, and he came down to Little Rock. He's from Northwest Arkansas. And we'd only met Clay once prior to this. Clay and I had been conversing quite a bit at that point, trying to like figure out sound stuff. And Clay walks into our rehearsal space, and I was basically meeting this dude for the first time, and I like gave him a hug. Which is,
that was a great move.
Very un-Drew.
Just power
if
move.
If you know me, you know that's a great move.
No, just totally unlike me. Like I have no desire for human interaction or contact. Anyway, it was very uncomfortable.
Big bear hug, yeah, man. So. And you initiated it.
So just an intrinsic connection. Just,
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. You couldn't help yourself. It was the universe.
It was.
Can I just say about this podcast really quick?
Can I just say, you actually don't have to say, can I just say before everything you say, this is your podcast.
And can I say just what you say?
Want. Let me just say, this podcast is really taking off. My 8-year-old today in the van, he was like, man, I want to listen to that podcast. And I was like, dude, that's so freaking cool. No, I meant playlist. I'd made a playlist for him for the car that had like Travis Scott and what, you know, all the cool, like biggest hits of today. For the guys, I meant playlist. I was like, oh man, I like seriously, the wind was like out of my sails. He's a sweetie. He would he supports us, but he definitely did not want to listen to that podcast.
But it's been so long since I've seen you guys, and Kobo now has a kid.
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
I haven't seen you guys in like 4 years.
You've literally never seen my child in person, have you?
I don't even think I've seen a picture of your child, dude.
Well, get on Instagram.
You don't follow me, do you?
I'm kidding.
I've been meaning to follow you.
That would be so uncomfortable. I'm following everybody else and Knox Hamilton, but not Kobo. But a lot of stuff has happened, and I don't think we kind of touched on it last week and made a bit out of it. But I'm curious, what have you guys been doing?
Living that dad life, man, which I got to say has been, I got to say it, Clay. Sorry. Can I just say living that dad life has been pretty perfect for me. Having a kid is the perfect reason / excuse to never go anywhere, see anyone, or do anything. Yeah. I feel like some of us have been trying to, you know, quarantine, socially distance, / lock ourselves in our houses way before COVID. And having a kid is just the perfect way to do that. Just don't have to go anywhere or do anything. It's called crippling anxiety. And it's been around way before COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me for sure. Just living that dad life. Should see my cargo shorts right now. You guys would definitely understand.
They are tight for sure. Yeah. So speaking of COVID, it kind of expedited. We were, you know, all growing families, and it was probably going to hamper the touring life anyway. And of course, you know, the pandemic just brought on all that for a lot of people. Closed business down, closed bands down. It really just, you know, kind of sped that whole process up for us, because we were definitely, you know, our touring days were numbered.
And I remember early in 2020, like, we had some stuff cooking, potential tours, friends reaching out, asking us to go out. And it was like right around that time, like March 2020, when stuff was starting to take off. And we're like, maybe we shouldn't go travel around the country in rooms full of strangers. But we would have been like super spreaders at that point, just taking
super
COVID to every possible location. It just didn't seem smart. But we did release a new song, Wild. Mm-hmm. We had a music video, really weird music video, come out just right around the time stuff was starting to shut down.
Yeah, we had no clue. I think we maybe filmed in February, because we really did have like no clue what it was about to. Yeah. No one did. But we had like hazmat suits on.
That's my bad. I'm sorry.
And like N95 masks. And like we were just like grooving, just like just trying to do something weird. And like the week after the video was released, N95 masks were sold out. Everybody's like quarantining, and we just felt so insensitive.
Was not on purpose.
Too much stink.
I just happened to have all that stuff in my house. And I was like, well, let's.
It felt really cool. I was like, yeah, man, this is cool. You know, not a whole lot of people do this. And then, you know.
Yeah. I think that video still stands the test of time, though.
As being very,
very insensitive.
Culturally insensitive. Yes. So then, to answer your question, Clay, we all, for whatever reason, we all started driving Amazon trucks.
Well, let's be clear here. Boot started driving for Amazon first.
I blame Boots.
I also do. I was moonlighting as a security guard at the Rev Room, a local music venue. That's always been great to us. We've played there a ton. Yes. Like, the owner owns another club in town that, you know, they've always, even way back in the day, like an indie band would come through and they would holler at us to like come open up, give us like $100 and free dinner. So anyway, I used that connection to go work for them. It was basically just taking out the trash. That was my job. Just stay there till 2 a.m, clean up some puke, take out the garbage.
Some puke.
You weren't cracking skulls.
So no, we had guys for that.
Other guys. Drew's not the cracking skull type.
Yeah, I got there and they were like, hey man, you're the new security guy.
Question mark.
Handed me like a 2XL Rev Room shirt. Like, here, put this on. It's like a nightgown. So I was doing that very satisfied, and Boots was like, man, have I got the opportunity for you?
Do you want to get paid to exercise? Yeah, man.
Let's not discount the high that you get from exercising with Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
That's the best shape I've ever been in my adult life. I'll say.
So I had two stints.
That's how hard they make you work.
I had two stints at Amazon. One, they took my badge photo a couple of weeks after I started, and then I took a year off to rest my old knees, and then my badge picture after I went back was about 35 pounds heavier. Well,
can we see
fine.
Those?
Yeah, yeah. We'll post those
show notes.
It'll be in the link below.
I did fall down several times, like walking up to people's houses, because I mean you're delivering in the rain, whatever. It's slick. Trying to hurry, have too much to do, and just straight up fell down on someone's, like, you know, wise cam.
Clay, you would make 200 stops a day. We went from touring. I don't know how many days out of the year we used to tour, but it used to be a lot. That was our full-time job. We were quote-unquote musicians, and we went to Amazon after that.
I will say that for the time the three of us worked there, I don't think any of us wanted it more, it being for music to take off and not have to work at Amazon. Like we talked all day, every day, like sending ideas and like talking about the new songs we had coming out. And but at the same time, it was COVID and nobody was doing anything. Fortunately for us, I will say for some of our band friends, we saw them out there. They were having to like scramble to find other stuff. We were fortunate enough to like be able to work through that time. You know, making music wasn't our only income stream.
Sure.
And I think that's worth saying.
That's a good point, though. It's like working there kind of made you realize how much, you know, you like music, you like, you know, doing the job or whatever, but it made us kind of focus on what we liked instead of like having our people tell us, well, you need to do this or you need to fit into this or whatever. It's like, dude, we've kind of seen the other side of it. It's like, let's do what we want and make it our own.
For me, I mean, we've always like, you know, we were writing and, you know, sending ideas back and forth, but we had a buddy of ours reach out, John Anderson, who runs Anderson Brothers Design. And he was like, man, have you guys ever thought about doing something a little less Knox and more maybe folksy Americana country kind of direction? And I've always, you know, I've been intrigued by like the old school country. Like that's
we grew up on all that stuff too. Sure. Like 90s country, Southern gospel, like
Drew's been writing folks music since he was,
it's,
I mean,
honestly
first
the only
him.
Thing I can actually write.
Darn good at it. So we were just like, man, this is kind of in our wheelhouse. So that like really motivated me to get back to writing. And Lost in a Party was a song that we had for a little bit. In the chamber, we just decided to come back, you know, come back swinging with the indie rock. But we recorded some stuff that would, I think the fans will enjoy it. It's just, you know, maybe a little bit more mellow, folksy Americana type tune. So those will be out pretty soon. But that process of talking to him and, you know, getting into that world just really motivated me to start writing again. So I think that really opened the door to creative process.
Well, and also in 2020, we spent a lot of time in our Amazon vans listening to mixes that we were getting back for what eventually became the Weekend Yet EP, because we did all that at Amazon. We were working with a buddy of ours. Let's not name drop. I don't know how to say anyone's name.
Yes.
Yeah, we were listening to mixes and sending notes and stuff that entire time for what ended up being our COVID EP. And there was a lot of music released in the COVID era, and ours was
out there with it.
That it was released also.
So if you guys haven't checked out the Weekend Yet EP, it is
out there.
Check it out. So I did get bitten in the shoulder by a German Shepherd on one of my routes.
Did it hurt?
A German Shepherd bit my shoulder, and I had to go to urgent care and get a tetanus shot. For like a week straight, it just felt like a bruise.
Like you got bit by a German Shepherd?
It just felt like numb and weird for like a week. And I was just like, dude, is this thing about to turn sheptic? But anyway.
What if it would have been like Spider-Man, you got bit by a radioactive German Shepherd?
You get German Shepherd powers.
German
be super needy, and then when you turn 10, your hips stop working. So.
Well,
I got bit by a wiener dog, I just want to say.
You did.
Put that out there.
But the owner told you that the dog did not bite.
Yeah. I got to say it, Clay. Personally, regarding Amazon, I'm still traumatized every time I get in a car that I'm going to find a bottle of someone else's urine. That was such a common experience. Just open the door and like pee bottles just fall out.
It's a weird culture, dude.
It's a weird.
You got to stay hydrated, man. You're out there. It's hot. It's hot in the back of the van.
But it was cool that the guys up there at Amazon would always ask about Knox Hamilton.
Yeah. So our main boss, Larry, man, every day that dude was talking to me about playing guitar. He played guitar. He was like, oh man, what are you guys doing? What are you like?
And when are you getting out of here?
You got a job as long as you need it. As soon as Knox Hamilton's ready to hit the road,
get out of here.
He was so supportive. And that was such a weird time because things had kind of wound down. COVID was insane. So much uncertainty. And you just had this positive guy every day. And Larry saying man, you got to get back out there. Got to write some music, man. And it was encouraging in a time where we probably needed a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Just because the world was so weird.
Weird time.
And I don't think this is an outlier. I'm sure there were tons of bands that had to, get these type of jobs. But I think we're super lucky that we have the Hamilton that we have. And there's more people listening to us than before any of this ever happened. So
yeah, even when we were touring and, in the van.
Trying to get listeners.
Somehow there are more people listening now. And that has been very encouraging and motivating for us to continue to make music. And
because you do get to a point to where it's like, man, I mean, we're doing good. I mean, we never take it for granted because it's awesome. But there does come a time where you're like, man, we've tried this for a long time. And you're not just killing it. It does come a certain point where you're like, we've had our time. But then you get all these messages from, the people you used to work with at the label. They're just like, man, do you guys have anything coming out soon? Because you have more listeners now than when you were touring and really busting your humps out there. We have plenty of songs left already written. And it was just kind of a deal. It's like, well, why wouldn't we keep releasing music? We love doing it and some people still want to listen to it. So we're just going to flood the airwaves with our stuff.
Well, and it's not all, maybe for some artists or bands, it's just straight upward trajectory the whole time. They get that big record deal and then they're, private jets to and from. I think that's the exception, not the rule. For most people, it is just steady kind of hard work for a long time to continue to stay motivated to write and release music that you're proud of and that you want people to hear. You got to love it.
Does it make you appreciate it more?
The harder that you work?
I think the harder, yeah. If it takes a little while and it's not Work It Out was doing great and it was just we were just rushed into a tour and just all these things happened so fast and we had no time to enjoy really any part of it. It's just so many people kind of telling us, this is what you have to do next and we didn't get to enjoy. This is just my personal opinion, but a lot of it we didn't get to enjoy. So it's like when we kind of sit back and, we see these people just still listening, 5, 6, 7 years later, it just makes you appreciate it a little bit more, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. And early on, Work It Out somehow was on terrestrial radio. We got a major record label and we had never left the state of Arkansas. We were playing once a month. Again, at Rev Room.
Well, we had never played a good show.
we had ever. No clue what we were doing. And then we were like, yeah, we'll go play 50 shows in a row.
We were pretty salty in the studio just because we got a chance to just goof around and found something that worked and, recorded some songs. But man, our live stuff, go on YouTube. It speaks for itself. But like our, it took us 4 years of touring to even get to where we're just like, okay, we'll invite some people out to the shows. I mean, it was like, I mean, Kobo's obviously always been, you know, held his own on the drums, but good Lord, man, just all the sound stuff. Clay, thank you so much for helping us the last year or so of touring, because that was a huge help. By the way, bands, just a little PSA, get you a really good front of house, because it means the world on tour.
Absolutely.
If it means a few less trips to Buffalo Wild Wings, because the budget doesn't call for it. This episode brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. But
yeah, I mean, really,
yeah, touring was a struggle.
By the time we were very comfortable on stage, I think, and probably playing our best,
COVID happened.
You know? And that you know, it sounds funny, but it's, you know, it's no joke. I mean, like, we
got huge festivals,
and very early on.
I don't know if you guys think about that, like, but I think about that.
We didn't have an album.
Well, yeah, we didn't have an album, but I got to think about that. I'm just like, dude, we are not ready to headline Rev Room in Arkansas. And we're playing like Firefly. Tonight, Kings of Leon will play. It's like, yeah, we weren't ready for that jelly. But I mean, you know, then do you think about not doing that? And it's just like, man, you wouldn't trade it.
It was kind of trial by fire too. I think it kind of, you know, it got us up to speed very quickly, because none of us were really in that world of like live music. We'd always just like jammed and, you know, recorded music that mostly our family and friends listened to. And then we were just like thrown into it, like, here, go on tour, go play a festival, be entertaining. Maybe you shouldn't dress like that.
Dude, it sounds like, wham, we have a hit song.
Yeah.
We get a tour. That's what it all sounds like.
Do you feel like that's such a touchstone for most artists, what you're talking about, where it's like, even when people start to enjoy the art that you're making, still having to grind and still having to work for it? I feel like that's something that most people don't realize. I think it's going to be like, once I have a hit song on the radio, then it's all roses and daisies from there. It's right. Like, no, like stuff happens, and you know, maybe you're not prepared necessarily for that level of success, or a world ending pandemic happens and you're working at Amazon. Like that's,
yeah,
right. Just cap this off. I text Boots last night. It's like, I personally took it for granted. So, you know, it's the time off or the time down or whatever kind of helps you refocus and say, there's not very many bands who take 3 years to release a song. And then once you do, Regan's like, yeah, dude, we'll play on Alt Nation. Like that doesn't happen for a lot of bands. So, yeah.
So cool.
We gotta really appreciate it. Here's the thing is like, I don't understand how we do still have people listening to us, because we are the worst band at just promoting ourselves,
social media,
anything
general.
And I don't understand,
not even band, like we're the worst, like social media people.
Yeah, why do you guys think it's so hard? Like why is it hard to,
because I'll tell you why with our age, we grew up with bands who we never checked social media, because we never had to. We're just like, man, let's like release all this music, let's tour. Now we're in this world where it's like, if you are not on TikTok, if you are not being seen, as much as I talk, you think it'd be my thing, but it's not. Like, it's not me, like, selfie, and do people still say duck face? Whatever, like, selfie.
Still doing it. I don't know if it's
still doing it. So that's none of our personalities. So, like, to be in a band, you, listener, listen to me. You don't know how many professional people on our team have literally pulled their hair out talking to us like face to face, like, please post on social media. My dad, who is like real big on social media, actually is like, why don't you just tweet every once in a while, put a story up on Instagram? Some people, it's like second nature to them, or first nature. And with me, I never think to, you know, I don't know.
There's not many bands where every single member, that's their mindset. You know?
I know.
It's like, that's our last.
Yeah. It's a horrible combination.
There should at least be one of us.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. The age, I guess, isn't too great of a, well, and there's some great.
I think for me, starting out with this whole thing, when I like first started playing with you guys, because Knox Hamilton had already been around in some like iterations when I showed up, first moved to Little Rock. It was cool to like play music that we liked with our friends. That's how this whole thing started. And so anything outside of that was just like, why? That doesn't matter. Like, why would we do that? And I've always kind of approached it from like that mindset. I just want to play music with my guys. The rest of it is just annoying.
Not thinking
to
that
have
we
to do.
Not thinking know. That we also have to be successful to continue right. to play songs with our friends.
Yeah. Well, my musical career path was to just play in my bedroom forever by myself. And then I started playing with Knox Hamilton, and that forced me to have to like interact with people also and play music.
Man,
so it's been interesting.
It's good that you sell yourself short. I wouldn't want you to be full of it, but you're one of the most charismatic introverts. I mean,
that's true.
On the road, you get a couple
crippling
of
that's a great way to describe
you get a couple
it.
Of drinks yeah. and Clay I mean, and Drew, and he's just like at the merch booth, just like hamming it up. I'm like, who is this guy?
The thing about touring is it really is. If you're in a van, you're playing club shows, it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
To do all of that stuff yourself. Load in, load out. You're doing business management stuff. All of those things are not necessarily fun. But those like few minutes when we were on stage and seeing people like sing songs back to us, and then getting to meet these people who had came out on a Wednesday night, yeah. you know, and paid $15 to come see you. Like, we always made every effort to like get to the merch table and like talk to people. So yeah, introverted as I was, that was just such an exciting part of all of that, when so much of the rest of it was just Taco Bell, staying up way too late.
But guys, I've already mentioned it once, but I loved playing in front of people, them singing our songs back to us. There is nothing like an off day, freaking hitting some Buffalo Wild Wings with the boys. And I'm
he's 90, not joking.
I'm 90% serious. That was so much fun.
Cobra eating a hot salad. Boots and I with 30 wings piece.
Hot salad. Somehow the burger's always cold. If we could have a show at B-Dubs.
Oh my gosh. So we were thinking maybe if you guys wanted to share some comments, some questions, we can maybe take a few minutes, latter half of the shows, the episodes, to answer some questions that you guys have for us. So feel free.
Where would they send those questions, Boots?
You would send those questions to Twitter, to Facebook, to Instagram.
To them.
And
to Threads.
Email Twitter, email Instagram, email Facebook.
Our P.O. box is.
I told you we weren't good at this, Clay.
But anyway, if you want to, it's kind of like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy. If you want to ask us a question, yell it really loud.
Just ask it.
And we will answer it next episode. But yeah, if we post this on Instagram, just go into the comments and ask your questions, and we will try to answer as many as we can, get you guys involved, because I don't think it'd be near as fun without you guys.
The question we get asked the most, and you guys are going to love this, when is the next tour? And I always answer, check back soon, because it's
TBD.
We will definitely play some shows coming up. We want to get this music out. Want to do it a little differently than we did the first go around. Want to get plenty of music out and share with you guys what we've been working on and talk about some shows.
So check back soon.
For
so
real.
Thank you everyone for listening. For the next episode, if you have questions you want us to answer on the podcast, we're going to open up and ask us anything on Instagram. That will be the place to leave your questions, and we will do our best to answer as many of them as possible, regardless of how ridiculous they might be. And until then, check out our new song, Lost in a Party. It's been out now. We hope you enjoy it, and we will talk soon.
Ciao, babes.
Love y'all. Lost here, lost in a party full of people.